Well, good morning once again.
Good morning.
The message today is titled, Where Do We See Him? Where do we see him? You know, it has to have been, when we think about it, had you been one of the disciples, how exciting it must have been when they saw the resurrected Christ. They had gone from disappointment, probably to despair, and then there he was, alive in front of them, and he could see him. They could see Jesus Christ. On the road to Emmaus, walking with Jesus for 7.5 miles or 7 miles, how exciting that must have been, especially when they finally realized it was Christ that was walking with them. And he had recounted all of that had been said by the prophets in the past, all that we read in the Old Testament. And then Marilyn has just read the time where having breakfast with Christ by the edge of the sea. It must have been really exciting and seeing him there in a physical presence. 153 fish. I don't know why 153, but that's a lot of fish, especially for just a few men standing at the edge of a sea. But wow, we had a little discussion earlier before services today. God provides. He really provided for that breakfast, didn't he? I don't think they ate all 153. I think Simon was able to sell a few. And then Paul in his writing to the Corinthians in verses 5 to 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says that 500 people saw the risen Christ, plus James, Jesus' brother, and all the apostles. So you've got at least, I don't know, when you add it all up, we were trying to add it all up on Thursday at the Manoir, but I think we come to over 520 people at least saw the risen Christ. No doubt about it. There he was, having been crucified, resurrected, so we too can be resurrected one day. There he was. He was seen. And then, of course, 40 days later, he was ascended into heaven. And since then, we have not seen Christ as he was seen by those 520-odd people. Nobody else has seen him in that form since then. Yet, since that time, he has been seen and is seen in many, many different ways. We have seen his presence. We have seen it in art. We have seen it in buildings. We have seen his his name. We have seen ministries that go out into all parts of the world. We see him in our music and in our praise and in our prayers. We see Christ in artifacts and in symbols. Katie has a beautiful necklace on with a cross. It reminds us of Jesus Christ, and he is seen through that symbol. One of the most popular, or at one time became popular, I haven't seen as many as I have in the past, one of the symbols we see is what's called the ichthys. Okay, and it's the form of a fish, which is interesting. 153 fishes, follow me, it said at the end of that scripture. And it's formed from the Greek letters that say, Isus Christos Theo Ios Soter, which translates Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Has anybody seen that symbol anywhere? I've seen it on the back of cars, bumper stickers, many different places. If Louis Olivier David was here, we'd see it on his t-shirt. Because he has lots of symbols. We see Christ in so many different ways, don't we? It's really interesting. He's there in front of us. But where do we see him? Where, think of some of the places. Where do we see Christ today? And we've mentioned it, by the way, in our prayers and in this service already. Where do you see Christ? Peter. Perfect. We see him in his creation. We see Christ in the change of the seasons, as it says in Psalm 19. He says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." And then in Romans 1, verse 20, if you haven't become a believer, like it says here, all you have to do is look at the creation. And once you've done that, you have no excuse. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities," the things that we can't physically see, but we know of his presence, his eternal power and divine nature, "they have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." We see Christ in our creation so that people are without excuse. People are without excuse. We see Christ in other people's lives. Think of some of the things or the people who are, remembered because of Jesus Christ. We can go back as far as John Calvin and Martin Luther. How about Florence Nightingale? If you're a musician, George Frederick Handel was a devout Christian. He wrote probably the most beautiful music, the Messiah, of course, being one of his most famous. Jimmy Carter, Habitat for Humanity. C.S. Lewis, as he's written. More contemporary, Carrie Underwood. There are many others. And these are all people where you see Christ through them. Lots of athletes. But you don't have to be a famous person for Christ to be seen, if Christ is in you. It says in Matthew chapter 5, "You are the light of the world." Jimmy Carter and many of these others who we remember. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, we are instructed, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We don't have to be a famous person. We don't have to be a special athlete. We don't have to have conquered anything in particular. We as individuals can shed that light. Because when we do, then Christ can be seen. I would think there is another way that Christ is seen. It's happened to probably all of us. And that is when your heart has been changed. When your heart changes. I know Alex is preparing his testimony before his baptism. And that testimony will include the fact that his heart was changed. Christ was seen. He is an example. When people come up out of the baptism tub, you are witnessing to the world what you believe. Christ is being seen. Christ's presence is being known. We like to have, like Amanda, she's come and left us prayer cards, little stickers, pens. By the way, the pens are very popular in the prison. They love them because they have a little scripture on them. We see Christ in so many little things. I have one that I just absolutely flabbergasted me the other day. How many people here like ice cream? Anybody not like ice cream? Everybody likes ice cream, right? Any special flavor? I love butterscotch. Butterscotch ice cream. Okay? All right. I forgot this scripture. When people are repentant and receive Christ, there's a big party going on in heaven. I don't know if they have ice cream there. okay? But there is rejoicing. When you receive Christ, there is rejoicing. But now let's get back to ice cream, all right? And I don't mean to make this of lesser importance of how important it is for somebody to come to Christ and witness their conversion or their new birth. But ice cream, isn't that crazy? I love butterscotch ice cream. Chagnon Dairy has this amazing caramel ice cream. Here's something that absolutely flabbergasted me. On the bottom of the tub of ice cream, can you see it? Is the little fish. And then right next to it is J316. What is that? That is John. John, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Can you imagine this? Did you ever know this? Did anybody know this before?
No.
If you go to all of the Chagnon Dairy products, I was in the IGA the other day. You go to their products, even this symbol is even on their ice cream sandwiches. And on all of their flavors of ice cream. And I just looked at it and I said, there is the Christ's presence. There is Christ being seen. I went to their website. There's nothing in their website that says anything about their owners and what they believe. I'd love to know. And if anybody ever finds out, how did that get there? And why? And who are the believers enough to do this? And don't tell the secular folks in our province, because they'd probably want to wipe this off the carton of the packaging. But this is incredible. Christ is seen. Isn't that this really amazed me. So here, this is, I thought, sort of a trigger. How do we make Christ seen? And I've got a few suggestions. How do we make Jesus Christ known? How do we make him seen? The first one, have I got to get this back to normal here? The first one is how we love. In John chapter 13, verse 35, it says, everyone will know that you are my disciples. We are disciples. We're the teachers, right? We are disciples if you love one another. So part of making Christ known and making him seen is how we love. The second one I came up with is that we live by faith. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, Paul says in Galatians. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We trust in Christ. We've surrendered ourselves to Christ. We want more, as Alex said in his prayer this morning. But we live by faith. And people will know us by our faith, and our faith is in Christ, and that gives or makes us seen. Jesus Christ seen. Probably the most obvious one is worship. We come here on Sundays. The parking lot. It's interesting, I had somebody come to me the other day and said, you must have an interesting church. I said, why? He says, well, every time we drive by on Sunday, the parking lot is full. I said, that's good. Christ is being seen by people who drive by. All right? We're here to worship. We are to worship. In our music, okay? Our music, Christ is seen. How do we also make Christ aware, seen? We do so by being in God's Word daily, whether it's a devotional, whether you're doing the Bible through the year. God says that in being God's Word, your Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. How we walk in the word is making Christ seen. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, David said, for I have put my hope in your laws. How about another one? We make Christ seen by our fellowship. We do not forsake gathering together. We share, like we shared in the Lord's table today. We share in our fellowship, in our common belief. We are united. Just as it said in Acts, that the disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. They broke bread like we do. Potlucks, pancake breakfast. We make Christ seen through fellowship and in sharing. Amazing. We're not to forsake gathering together. I know that during COVID, a lot of people, and for the right reason, could not come together. But they ended up becoming now, unfortunately, what I call the church of the couch. You know, people stay home and watch TV because they don't want to come together. But coming together and fellowshipping and gathering is part of making Christ seen and is part of uniting us, is part of sharing with Christ. Probably one of the things that makes Christ seen the most amongst us is when we see and hear of answered prayer. When we see and hear of people who have gone confronted through hardship. When somebody has come to you after you've gone through a serious trial and they ask you, as I have been done in a couple of cases, how did you get through that? It was through faith and prayer. Faith and prayer. And when you say that to somebody, that may not mean that God is calling them at that moment, but now they know there is something, and that something is Jesus Christ, will help them if they come into a hardship, if they have the faith and the prayer. In Ephesians it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep praying for who? For each and every one of us, all of Lord's people. I'm glad we have prayer time before services on Sunday. We've added prayer time now to the Bible study on Wednesdays. We pray for all people. We pray to encourage them. I will remind you at the back, on the back table, there's the help that shows you how to pray for people and the list of people you can pray for. It says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. That's how we make Jesus Christ seen. That's how we make him seen. The other way we make him seen is by our witness. And I know that there are street ministries. There are other ways of witnessing to people. But there are subtle ways of doing it as well. I like the idea of us having t-shirts for July the 19th. That's a way of making Christ seen. And what's on those t-shirts? I know people are working on that. Many people have hopefully different ideas. But their t-shirt doesn't have to be super fancy. It just has to have a message out there that communicates who Christ is, or inviting Christ into their lives. Jesus Christ, in Matthew 28, gave us a commission, and that commission we all know. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. There are missions that are going on all around the world. Sometimes when we read this text, it's like, how am I going to do all of that? Well, there are many, many people involved in making disciples and in teaching and in preaching. But that doesn't mean that we, even though that may seem difficult to us, can't witness, can't show, can't answer a question, can't in fact ask a question about what do people believe. All of us here have been given a gift. Gifts are different. No gift is greater than anybody else's gift, right? No, just because one person is great at hospitality doesn't mean we all have to be making 5-star meals and inviting tons of people into our homes every night. That's a gift that's been given to one person. Another person may have a different gift, a gift of administration or a gift of prayer or evangelism on a street. All the gifts are the same. The biggest thing that we could do that would be a crime, would be a sin in my mind, is that we don't use the gift that we're given. And that gift helps make Christ seen. How else can we make Christ seen? By serving those in need. I won't read the whole scripture, but the first one in Ephesians 6 says, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. We are called to serve. And as we all have read, and I've read this many times in Matthew 25, it says that when Christ said, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was a stranger, I needed clothes, I was sick, I was in prison, you visited me, you fed me, you clothed me, you invited me in. That is part of witnessing. That is part of serving. That is part of making Christ seen. That's why I like to think that when we raise money, when we give our donations to the local community or whomever, we are making Christ seen. We have pancake breakfasts. Yes, it's nice. We make a couple of $100, nothing big. But we are making Christ seen because we are serving into the community. Do you know that the food banks are in desperate need of food now? I was at, if you remember, in the community center in Knowlton. If you walk in on the right-hand side, there's a refrigerator and there's a cabinet. And that is actually for people to leave food for the needy. On Wednesday, I went there and I opened the cabinet. It was empty. I opened the fridge door. It was empty. I opened the freezer. There were a couple of loaves of bread. We need to do something, folks. There are people in need. And I'm not talking about just going and putting something into the food bank in Knowlton. There is a proper food bank there in the basement of the community center that's very well maintained and is used extensively. So I'm just using that as an example of the need that this cabinet and this fridge are basically empty. But there is a need, and we can fulfill or participate in helping to fulfill that need by serving. And as we serve, whether you have your t-shirt on or not, we can be known and we can be bringing and making Christ seen. What an amazing, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. So just to summarize, Christ can be seen in so many different ways. Whether it's on the back of an ice cream carton, or whether it's through our serving, whether it's because people notice our parking lot is full, there is a message that we have that we can deliver. And that message is our hope and our belief and our faith and our knowing that Christ will come, even though when we see the world around us becoming more and more chaotic, and just ridiculous things happening in this world today, we pray for Christ to come. Why? Because we know that there will be relief. And we need to get that message to people. And we can get that message to people by doing some of the things that I've just mentioned here so that Christ can be seen and we can tell people that there is hope, not just for the future, but even now as they go through tough times. So, what is the instruction that we are given? We are given in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. As a prisoner of the Lord, and I hope you feel that you are, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one with one another in love. And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How we live our lives is the best example of how Christ can be seen. I'd like to close in prayer. Great God, our Father, as your ambassadors, may we be an example to those who are around us, that we not be afraid to tell others of the hope that we have, that we appreciate the beauty and the excellence and magnificence of your creation, and tell people that you are the great creator. May we be in your word, in prayer, and in deed. May we share our hope and serve those in our communities and around the world. We place our lives into your hands. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let us sing hymn number 220, He Lives.